Amen. Father, we give you thanks. And we praise you for the year that we just enjoyed. We thank you for the family that we have, our natural family, but even our spiritual family, our brothers and sisters that we gather here today. Lord, I know there's many that are sick today that could not make it. We pray that you would move upon them, that you would touch them. And as Pastor John brings forth this word today, we pray, Father, that it would invoke a new vision in us. Lord, that it would stir us even to a greater depth. Lord, even we sang that song, going down to the river. Lord, may we go down to the river. Not be satisfied walking in to ankle deep or to knee deep or waist deep, but may we swim out in that river and be carried away by the current of the Spirit of God. Father, bless Pastor John as he brings forth this word. And Lord, bless us to receive it. We ask in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, as we were just talking about, I mean, tomorrow starts a new year. And every year around this time, you know, people all over the world, they decide, you know what, it's time to make a fresh start. And it is a great time to do that. There's no doubt about it. I mean, it's with the whole new calendar that we got, you know, we have a new business year, we have a new tax year, we have a, you know, people do it in their home life, people do it in their work life, their personal life, and in their spiritual life. And why not? Especially as a Christian, it's always good to set new goals. It's always a good thing to do that, to reestablish the vision that God has put inside of us, to examine ourselves, to see if we really are walking in the, you know, in the path that God has laid out for us. And fortunately for us as Christians, God's mercies never end. And it's never too late, or it's never a bad time to get a fresh start, to do a reset. In Lamentations, a book, I don't usually, that's not one of my normal books to read, Lamentations, but I was reading Lamentations 3:21. It says, "This I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those who hope in him, to the one who seeks him." God's love and his compassion, his mercy will never ever fail us. He gives us opportunities to start over, to make a fresh start, to get on the right path, the path, the course that he designed for us. And those who seek him, those who put their hope in him, as we read just a minute ago, and those who wait on him to hear his voice, are going to be blessed. And this is what God wants from us. He wants us to answer his call. It's God calling. I wish it was that simple, don't you? To know. But the truth is he does call out to us. I want to read something for a moment. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 5, it says, "The Lord said to Abram, 'Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you.'" Now this is God's call to Abraham. "I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples of the earth will be blessed through you." Bob, we often talk about the double blessing. You know, we talk about that a lot of times. This is a quadruple blessing. Double, double. He'll be blessed. He'll be a blessing. He's going to bless everyone who blesses him, and all people will be blessed through him. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, And Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife, Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abraham had gotten a call from God, and he answered that call. God had amazing plans for this man, plans that concerned him, his family, his descendants, and in fact, all the people of the world. But all those great plans depended on Abram, or Abraham as we know him, we think of him, answering God's call. Hebrews 11, 8 through 10 says, "By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went." He got the call, he obeyed, he responded, and he went. Even though he didn't know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to a city with foundations. I bet he was living in a tent, whose architect and builder is God. You know, Abraham had it made. He lived in his father's estate, his father's land. Probably had free rent, I'm sure. And he had everything he needed. And then some. He had an abundance. And then he gets this call from God. "Abraham, I know this is a big sacrifice, but I want you to do something for me. I want you to pick up everything you have. I want you to leave behind the comforts of your home, of the city. And I want you to move to this foreign land. And I want you to live in a tent. And oh, by the way, it's in the desert." And Abraham at that time was 75 years old. Thankfully, he obeyed. Now, I enjoy camping a lot. But I don't think I would want to sell my home, pack up all my belongings, take up everybody with me, and move to a tent out in the desert. Especially when I'm 75. Abraham could never have understood the ramifications. He never could have understood all that this encompassed, this response to God's call. His faithfulness to God's calling would not only affect him and his family, but all people in distant lands, in distant times, all the way down, including us right here. We are heirs of God's promise. Abraham, God's promise to Abraham. Romans 4 tells us that Abraham is the father of all who believe. We're like his seed because he's the father of all who believe. When we become believers, we get to enjoy part of that promise that was given to Abraham. So here's the thing. Every one of us has a calling from God on our life, both as an individual, but we also have a corporate calling within us or on us that concerns the body of Christ. In Ephesians 4:1 says, "I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received." According to Ephesians 2:10, we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Each one of us was wonderfully created, fearfully and wonderfully made by God. We've each been given like unique giftings, very real talents and abilities, so that we can walk in and fulfill this call from God. And then we see that God not only determines the good works that he prepared in advance for us to do, but the Bible tells us he also determined the times that we should be alive and the places where we should live. So now we have this job that is to hear God's call and to respond to that call in obedience, just like Abraham did. And when Abraham did it, if you remember, the blessings began to flow. He was blessed. He became a blessing. Others were blessed who blessed him. And his work caused blessing to be scattered all over the world. That's our job. As we respond to this call of God in our life, we become part of a major blessing in our realm, in our sphere of influence, and beyond. Because we don't realize that our sphere of influence is way larger than we can imagine. Because we touch a few people here, a few people there, but then they meet people, and it just keeps going. When the blessings of God are poured out, not only are we blessed, but God is glorified. It brings glory to God. And we need to know that none of this is done in isolation. We can't just be isolated. We can't be alone and away from everybody for all this to happen. So there's also a corporate calling on us too, because we've been called to be a part of the body of Christ, every one of us. Hebrews 3:1 says, "Therefore, brothers who share in the heavenly calling." We have a shared calling. 1 Peter 2:9 says that you are a chosen people, not a chosen person. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare his praises, the praises of him who called you out of the darkness and into his wonderful light. See, he called us out of this hopeless situation, this darkness, this road to death, this pathway road to hell that we were on. He brought us out of that, brings us into his family, into his kingdom, calls us, gives us a purpose, and then he brings us into his body for that purpose to expand. He's not only called us to be part of this body, but Colossians 12:18 says, and this is quote, "In fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them," that's you, us, me, all of us, "just as he wanted them to be." In other words, God's giftings are so specialized and so unique that he places us in a body to be used specifically as he wants them to be. Of course, we got to figure that out. We have to hear that. There's a lot of things that go along with this. We got to hear it. We got to recognize it. We got to respond to it and walk in obedience. Now, why would he arrange the times we live? Why would he arrange the places we live? Why would he work on this exact placement of us within his body and then prepare works for us to do in advance? Why would he do all that? Well, there's really only one possible answer. And that is because God has a particular calling, a particular function or a mission for each and every church. When God establishes a church, it's not just for fun. It's not just so we can come and get within our four walls and have a good time and love the Lord and be blessed. That's great. That's wonderful. That's a great thing to do. But there is a call on that church to touch people's lives. And that call cannot be fulfilled unless those people who God has called to come into that church come, and unless those who come in begin to walk in their giftings, respond to the call of God. We're on a mission from God. A mission to fulfill fulfill the life, the call upon our life, and to do it individually and corporately. And what happens then as we come together corporately, each part then enhances the whole. Each part is encouraged and strengthened by the others. We all work together for each other's good. We love one another. We work towards one another. Sure, there's going to be frictions. There's going to be problems. There's going to be this. There's going to be that. Just like any family. I'm sure when you had your family over these holidays or you went and visited your family, I'm sure somebody in that group that day probably had a little misunderstanding or a little argument. Maybe if it wasn't that day, it was leading up to it or throughout the year. There's always things that go on. But we don't abandon our family then. How many times as parents have we been disappointed in choices our children have made? How many times have our children been messed up because of what we have done? We're all imperfect. And the church, even though it is the body of Christ, it's still filled with us. There's no perfect church because you're in it and I'm in it. And we're not perfect. But God is perfect. And God is the one who's called us together and told us to live together, to work together, to love one another, to forgive one another, to care about one another, to fellowship with one another, to pray for one another, to strengthen one another, to encourage one another, to be there for one, to join together and build something amazing. We're on a mission from God. So what's our calling? Well, there are as many different callings within a church as there are people. Everybody has unique giftings. You all have unique giftings within you and a unique call upon your life. There are some that we share. And in particular, there's one that we all share, and that is the highest calling of all, and that is for us to become like Christ. Being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Philippians 2:5 says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. So when we come together as a body, we're supposed to think like Christ does. We're supposed to relate as Christ would, becoming a servant. Remember, He humbled Himself and became a servant. And then He lived a life of obedience even unto death. In other words, we have to die to ourselves so we can live for Him. Remember what Jesus said? He said that He spoke nothing on His own. That the words that He spoke were from the Father. He did nothing on His own unless the Father told Him to do it. He and the Father were one. This is part of this wide calling. It's the ideal. You know, the ideal is the perfect example. It's the ideal. This is what we strive for, to be one with God, to walk as Jesus walked, to walk in that attitude of a servant, to love one another, to be obedient to God, to be transformed into the image of Christ. That is the ideal, the perfect example that we should strive for. Be ye perfect as I am perfect. That's what God said. So in other words, that's our goal. That's the ideal. That's what we strive for. Are we there? No. Are we going to make it there on this earth? No. But we have to have something to strive for. We have to have something to go towards. That's our vision. If we don't have any kind of vision at all, there's no restraints on us. We just perish. We do whatever we want. Corporately, we are to become the body of Christ with Jesus as the head. A people who are led by the Spirit of God, who operate and function together, who bring glory and honor to God in what we do, doing the work of Christ here upon the earth, preaching the word, worshiping, prayer, fellowship, evangelism, missions, all these things that are called for the church to do. Training up, raising up, helping others, loving others, being loved, allowing yourself to be loved by others. So both individually and corporately, we're supposed to love God with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength, and love our neighbor, love one another as ourselves. And Jesus said, that's it. That's the greatest commandment. Everything else follows or falls into those two, loving God and loving one another. And then we take that and we go out and we pass it around. We make disciples, bringing them into the kingdom, loving those outside the church. They're not under our rules. They're not under the same rules. They're still out in the world. So we try to love them into the kingdom. We get to know them. We share with them. People that maybe we would think we wouldn't. It just came to my mind. There's a Muslim family that just moved in two doors down from us back this summer. And when I do my snow blowing, I typically do, I started out doing the neighbor on one side, then I added the neighbor on the other side. Now I'm going down two doors and doing their family. The guy is not there anymore. I don't know where he went to. But the woman is there with two kids. So I've been snow blowing her walk. And was it a day or two before Christmas? She stopped by our house with her kids, and they brought us over a Christmas present. And the little kids wrote in crayon on the little card, Merry Christmas, each one in different colors, from our Muslim neighbor. Something touched her. And if it was a snow blowing, well, I also edged her lawn, too, in the summer. I do that, too. I got, like, I just go down the street. You know, why not? I'm like Pastor Don. Pastor Don does empty lots by his neighborhood. You know, you want to make the neighborhood look good, and you want to be a blessing to people. It's just it's a great way to touch people's lives, you know? It's not that hard. Once you're out there, you already got the tools out there. Just keep going, you know? These are like the goals of our calling. You know, these things, the perfect, these are the ideals of the individual and the corporate calling. But each one of us will be called by God to more specific things. You're going to have times when God calls you up. And this is where we need to put our faith in Him and wait on Him and listen for that voice. Find out what God wants from us. He wants us to answer His call. Sometimes we get a glimmer of what God wants. Maybe He speaks to us through a message like this. Or maybe it's in a teaching. Or maybe it's during worship. Or maybe it's in prayer. Maybe it's at home and with your time of prayer at home. It might be when you're driving in the car listening to some praise and worship. Or just tapping to the beat of the wipers. And then, so we hear God, we get that call from Him, and then we get back to our rational mind, and we realize, like, oh, I can't do that. I don't have the time for that. No, I don't have the ability to do that. Oh, no, they wouldn't help me do that. Or no, I don't know how, where would I get the money? Where would I get the resources? How can I can't. See, our mind begins to take over and react against what God spoke to us by the Spirit. We get all the reasons why we can't do something, and it just gets scary to us. If we take our eyes off God and we put our focus on those problems, and yeah, there very well may be a few or maybe many problems. But we start to look at those difficulties, we start to look at our fears and our doubts, and before you know it, we're freaking out. This will never work. And we get knocked off balance, and pretty soon we're out of the picture. If we start looking at our inadequacies, which are many, and then we start looking at the shortcomings of other people, which are just as many, we're going to be ready to give up and run away. And nobody would ever do anything. God would never get anything done on this earth. That's why we can't listen to the flesh. We have to be led by the Spirit of God. Not in some flaky, freaky way. Still has to balance out with the Word, all these different things. But we can't just be led by our natural, rational, fleshy thinking mind. Remember what happened to Peter in Matthew 14:28. He's in the boat and he sees Jesus walking on the water, and he gets so excited about seeing Jesus walking on the water. You know, Peter was, he was always getting excited. He was a man of emotions. He was a hot and cold. He was like all over the place. He was a great guy. But he was, you know, he was the first one to jump here, first one to speak out, but then he also got scared, remember? So he sees Jesus walking on the water. He gets so excited, he goes, "Lord, Lord, if it's you, call out to me. Call out to me. I want to go out there on the water." Well, Jesus calls to him. "Come on. Come." So Peter gets down out of the boat, and he begins to walk on the water. He's actually walking on the water. He's probably like, "I can't believe I'm doing this." You know, I mean, he had to think something like that. I don't know how you could not be just amazed at what's going on. But during this time, he's looking at Jesus. His mind is set. He's coming to Jesus. That was the main thing. How did that happen? It happened because he heard the call of God. And he responded, and he put his focus on the call, and he didn't let anything else get in the way. So verse 30 then tells us that he took his eyes off Jesus. Here he's walking out there, everything's going along great. And he starts looking then at the wind and the waves and the water, and he starts thinking, "This can't be happening. I can't do this. This is crazy. What happens if?" And don't we all get those? Well, what happens? What if this happens? What if that happens? And as soon as he began to take his eyes off God, the call of God began to like fade off into the distance. And as he looked at the water and the waves, he began to sink. Apparently he didn't just crash right through. It said he began to sink. And he cries out, "Lord, save me." Well, thankfully, Jesus says he will be with us always. And it says immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and he caught him. He grabbed him. And then he says, "Peter, you got so little faith. Why did you doubt? Why did you doubt me? I called you out here. You were doing it. Why did you doubt?" Peter could have kept walking on that water. He could have gone out, walked with Jesus. "Hey, come on, man, let's play some catch while we're out here." Who knows? I mean, he could have done anything if he just would have kept his eyes on Jesus and his mind focused. If he would have stayed true to the call and not let his fears and his doubts and his fleshly mind start to work overtime and look around. Just like what happens to us. Peter was a person just like you and me. He wasn't even filled with the Holy Spirit yet. And he did that. We got the Holy Spirit. But he did something that was humanly impossible. All because he responded to God's call. You see, if God calls us, anything is possible. If it's really God, God is calling us to do something, it's possible. It doesn't matter. With man, this may be impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Remember that? We can overcome our fears, our doubts. We can overcome our lack of time, our lack of finances, our lack of training, or whatever the shortcomings are. If it's God who's doing the calling, if God wants us to do something, if this is His will, He will make a way even when there is no way. I've seen it 1,000 times. People who are absolutely positive, this is going wrong. This can't work. This will never work. I can't do this. We've heard all those things. And we say, well, let's pray. And even when you say, let's pray, in your mind you're thinking, I hope, you know. But, you know, we do it in faith. We do it because we trust God. We can't see it. Sometimes it seems like, I don't know how this can work either, but let's just pray because we don't have the answer, but God does. He makes a way when there is no way. God wants to release His power and His anointing in you and in me and in this church. Every person who gets excited about what God is doing in their life and who gets filled up with His love and His power, who gets on fire for Him, becomes like a magnet. And each magnet attracts more. And the more we get excited about God, the more commotion there is. If you remember when Jesus or the apostles were out there doing the work of God, when things were happening, the crowds began to build. What's going on? What's going on over here? What's going on? And more people began to follow Him until the crowds got too big. God wants to release His anointing in you. He wants to release His anointing in greater and greater measure. But it all depends on how we respond to the call. If we listen, if we understand it, if we obey it. Maybe we need to ask somebody sometimes, hey, I think I heard this from God. Does this seem right? Well, let's pray. Let's pray. Our response affects other people. If we just throw it away, you know, nah, I ain't going to do that. I can't do that. We just cut out blessing, the fourfold blessing on us, on those around us, on those who bless us, and on all the earth, just like with Abraham. He obeyed God's call, and because he obeyed, because of his faith, you and I are blessed today. People far removed from him. How far removed are we from Abraham? I don't know Abraham. I never met him. I'm not, you know, he's not part of my natural family or anything, but somehow I'm blessed because he obeyed. Paul responded to God's love, to his call, and Paul the persecutor became Paul the evangelist, Paul the Bible writer, Paul the letter writer, Paul the man who blessed so many people. The apostles responded to God's call. Those 12 guys, when he called them, they came. They stuck with him. They blew it for a while, but then they got back together, got filled with the Spirit, and went out, touched a lot of people. How many of you have responded to the call of God and seen something seemingly impossible happen in your life. I know I responded to the call of God 42 years ago, and I saw Him do something totally unexpected and amazing, what I believed was impossible. I became a pastor. Farthest thing from my mind, I would have never, ever guessed that. And nobody who knew me would have. And God isn't done with any of us yet. He still has great things planned for you. He still has great things planned for this church, for me, for every one of us. And He wants to call you and tell you about it. He wants to tell you about His plans, the plans He has for you. And in fact, not only does He want to tell you, He wants you to be part of this great work that He's doing on the earth right now, in this church, right now, and in your life, right now. And when I say this church, I don't mean just in, right here inside. I'm talking the church is you guys. It's all of us. We are the church. Everyone who's a part of it. And this church has touched thousands upon thousands of lives. Directly, indirectly, probably tens of thousands, maybe up into the hundreds of thousands indirectly. And I'm not stretching it. After 40-some years of being here, I mean, we touch 1,000 people every year. We've touched over 1,000 kids just from our Bible release. And then you add to that the ripple effect that keeps on spreading further, and then down through the generations, we may be talking millions in this church, through this church. God's not done with us. We've not arrived. You've not arrived. I've not arrived. God wants us to be a catalyst for His power. He wants to, you know, to anoint us and inspire us and motivate us so that we can touch the lives of many, many more thousands. And that's going to happen as we respond to the call of God on our life. So what God wants us to do, what we need to do, is step up to the plate. Be led by the Spirit. We need to develop our giftings, the things that God has put in us, and use them for God's glory. We need to reach out to the lost and get involved in people's lives. Not just our own little circle. When you see an opportunity, go for it. You don't always have to jump right in with the gospel. You just got to go for the whatever is happening. Get involved. Let them get to know you a little bit. And then wait for the opening. Reach out to the lost. Get involved in their life. Build relationships. Speak up when something needs to be said. Speak out to the lost. Speak out at work, in your neighborhood. What does God want from you? What does He want to do through you? He wants us to listen. He wants us to listen. Listen. It's God calling. Wish it was that easy, don't you? It's not quite that easy, but it's not that hard. We got to take the time. We have to put our hope in Him, our faith in Him. We have to seek Him. We have to wait on Him. God's calling. Believe me, that call's going out all the time. Who can I send? Who can I use? Here I am, Lord. Use me. Lord, Your servant is willing. Speak, Lord, for Your servant hears. That's what God's looking for in us. I could have the prayer team come forward. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have not left us alone. That you have not just set things in motion and took off, Lord, that you're here every day, all the time. That you are involved in your world, in your people, in our lives. That you're working in every situation. That you're working out all things to the good of those who love you and who are responding to your call. Lord, we just praise you. We thank you, Lord God. Lord, I pray that our ears would be open to hear you. That our eyes would be open to see you. That we would be faithful ourselves in hearing that call. The many calls. Lord, that we would look for you daily. That we would open our ears every day and say, Lord, what do you want me to do here? How can I work here? How can you use me here? God, what can I do? How can I be a blessing here? How can I serve here? How can I love here? How can I bring glory to you in this situation? Lord, give us your word. Show us your way. Teach us your ways, O Lord. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen, Father. Amen. It's burning.